word with us. And let's give Brian a warm welcome. You want to come on up?
Yeah.
Awesome. God bless you. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Awesome. I'm doing good. Let's all just stand up one more quick second here. I can't help but to do this. I'm sorry. Father, I just thank you for your love. God, we just welcome the fire of God. We welcome the glory of God. We welcome the river that makes glad the city of God. Lord, we just welcome the joy and the presence of Jesus into this room. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Father, that those who look to you are radiant in your glory, Lord. We just thank you for your love. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for the joy of the Lord. Psalm 16, in your presence is the fullness of joy. Oh, if you're in his presence, you should be a little happier than your atheist friend. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for the radiant joy, Lord. We just love your presence this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, thank you guys so much for having me this morning. It is a joy to be with you. My name is Brian. I live in Front Royal, Virginia. You have probably never heard of it. It's kind of in the D.C. area. I'm 24 years old, and I am obsessed with Jesus. That's about all that matters, right? I got saved at 17 years old, and I've been burning for revival ever since, pressing in for the third great awakening in America ever since I got saved. I believe the greatest revival the world has ever seen is upon us right now. I mean, like, right now. It's not something that I'm pushing towards in the future. It's something that we need to walk in right now. There are souls that are dying and going to spend an eternity without Jesus. There is a burning, loving Father God that is up in heaven that is burning for a nation to be saved, for a generation to be won over for the glory of God, for biblical Christianity to be returned back to America. Let me tell you right now, what we're currently doing in America is not biblical Christianity. Bible says Christianity is defined by signs, wonders, miracles, presence, healing, manifestations of the glory of God. If you're not doing those things, you're not currently a normal Christian. According to the Bible, those who come after me, they shall heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and speak in tongues. Are you after Jesus? John 14, those who believe in my name, they will do greater works than these. Are you after him? Yes. Are you a believer? God is looking for believing believers in America right now. And I'm hoping to raise up a few extra ones this morning. Amen. That are going to read the Bible and agree with what it says and apply it to your life and do the stuff. The body of Christ is not walking in the glory that it could and should be walking in right now, and it's all available to you. It's not just for Reinhard Bonnke or Kenneth Copeland or whoever it is that you like. Those people are amazing. It's available to every blood-bought believer in the room this morning. Amen? And so anyway, I'm traveling all over the country, out of the country, doing miracle crusades, church services, and seeing amazing things right now. I have a TV show. This is a shameless plug right now. I have a TV show called Love Revival TV. You can check it out on YouTube, where I share testimonies, stories of God breaking in other countries here in America and sharing teachings on the presence and the glory of Jesus. Amen. So anyway, if you have your Bible this morning, I want you to turn to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. I'm going to share a similar word that I did on Wednesday night. I just feel like I was supposed to share it again. Actually, go to Psalm 91. I'm sorry. Go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. People ask me all the time, Brian, what is God doing in America? What is his purpose? What is it that God is doing? What's he up to? And people have a lot of different ideas. A lot of prophetic people even have a lot of different ideas. You know, you can read different prophetic websites, and I'm telling you, you can get pretty confused as to what God's doing in America right now. Some people say judgment's coming. Some people say blessing's coming. Some people say we're in a standstill. Some say we're moving forward. Some say we're moving backwards. I want to tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, all that I don't know. You know, I tend to be more apostolic and evangelistic than prophetic in that type of way. But I want to tell you what I do know that God is doing right now. He is raising up a generation of people that know the secret place. Everybody say the secret place. Secret place. What is the secret place? Let's go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In Matthew 6, verse 6, and then Matthew 7, 7, we hear about the secret place. In Jesus' day, we had these Pharisees who prayed long prayers in front of everyone, and they threw money into the offering plate, and everybody knew about their good works and what they're doing. That's so like this generation right now. We know about a man on a stage. We know about the gifts of the Spirit from so-and-so and what, you know, William Branham did 50 years ago. But we don't know the secret place of God. See, the secret place is where it doesn't matter what goes on up here on the stage. It matters what I do when I get home tonight. It matters about what's going on when you can't see the lifestyle I'm living. It matters about my heart of being before the Lord. See, in the past, in the Pentecostal charismatic renewal, I love it. I absolutely love it and I honor it. But so often we've had men and women on a stage that have been used of God, but that doesn't mean they know the love of Jesus. They just know how to operate in a gift or an anointing. You can be anointed and walk in the gifts of the Spirit and not have good character, integrity, and love for Jesus. God will anoint sometimes. He will allow the gifts and the anointing of God to flow through a sewer system. If God can talk from a donkey, He can talk from people who are walking in immorality, people who are doing bad things, and that is not the will of God. Jesus, what does the Bible say? He would stay up all night long. He would wake up early in the morning. He would encounter His Father in heaven. And it was the fuel for the glory, the power, the revival that He was walking. And Jesus was a revivalist, let me tell you. Jesus went around healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils everywhere He went. And the fuel for the power, the authority, and the kingdom rule and reign that He was walking in was His secret place with God. You know, I've asked people, can you lay hands on me to, you know, pray for the sick and, you know, release an impartation for healing? And yeah, I can do that. But I can tell you right now that a more fruitful thing is for me to pray that you would get a deep desire to get alone with God. See, this generation, we've got TVs, we've got pornography, we've got movies, we've got all of the desires of the rulers of the world. We've got all these different systems of entertainment because the devil knows that this generation, when I say generation, I mean from the newborn babies to the 120-year-olds. We are called to be obsessed with one holy obsession, and His name is Jesus. You are not called to be obsessed with the media of the world. You are not called to be obsessed with this thing or the other thing. There's one holy obsession, and God is calling you deeper into that. I remember I was 17 years old. I was an atheist. I was so far away from Jesus in one encounter with His glory. One encounter with His presence, and I have forever been undone. I don't desire the things of the world any longer, not because I'm afraid of hell or afraid of fire and brimstone, but I'm in love. David had everything. He was rich. He was wealthy. He had the women. He had the houses. He had the kingdom of God. He had the kingdom. And Psalm 27:4 says, "This one thing I've desired of the Lord, that I would gaze upon the beauty of the Lord all of the days of my life." There's got to be a hunger in our hearts to go after what we were truly created for. In Genesis 1, Genesis 2, the Bible says that God breathed life into the innermost being of Adam. The depths of who God is and was breathed into the depths of humanity. What is Adam? What is his first memory? What does he wake up to for the first time? A kiss from Father God. He wakes up to the most beautiful, proud, amazing face you can ever possibly imagine, breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. That is your purpose. That is your calling. People ask me, they'll say, Brian, am I called to be a doctor or a preacher or a missionary? I don't really know. I just know you're called to walk in intimacy with God and to know Him like your best friend, to know Him as a father, to know Him as a bridegroom. That is the calling of your life. The calling on your life isn't to be a pastor or an evangelist or an apostle. The calling on your life is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And out of the overflow of doing that, He'll put you on some big stages. I want to tell you right now, I have never sought after ministry. You can ask your pastors. I didn't ask them to come preach. I've never sought after a platform. I've never sought after a TV show. I've never sought after pastoring a church. I've just loved God and those things come towards you. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Jesus said, go to the secret place, pray to your Father who is in secret, and He will reward you openly. See, there's great favor, there's great anointing, there's great authority that God wants to give you in this life right now. But the only way you're going to get it is by getting alone with Him and loving Him. You can't go to college to get it. You can't go to seminary to get it. You can only get it from your prayer closet. That is the only place you're going to get what I'm talking. I can't even just pray for you this morning and give you what God wants to give you. You can only get it by long hours alone with Him. And that is the place of true joy. The Bible says that in the Garden of Eden, He placed man in the Garden of Eden. You know what Eden means? Bliss. Perfection, joy, pleasure. That's one of the other connotations of the word. Pleasure. God has made you for pleasure. That is one of the biggest differences between Christianity and any other religion of the world is the other religions of the world. God wants you to serve Him. God needs you to bring Him a drink, I guess. God needs you to do something for Him. In Christianity, Adam could do nothing for God. God, out of the overflow of His love, places Him in this place of pleasure, bliss, and perfection for one sole purpose, to know and to love God all of the days of His life. That is what you were created for. Every single human on the face of the earth was created with a big hole in their heart that only God can fill. People try filling that hole with religion. They try filling it with sex. They try filling it with alcohol. They try filling it with sports and movies. But there is only one thing that will satisfy your soul. His name is Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is the desire of the nations. Jesus is the answer for all of your problems. Jesus is the answer for your marriage. Jesus is the answer for America's economy. Jesus has all of the answers. And when we turn to Him, we figure out what we were created for. I'll never forget it. It blows my mind. I was 17. I would lay on my floor. I would roll around on the floor laughing, crying, shaking, travailing under the glory of God. I had never been to a church like this. If I would have went to a church like this growing up, I would have said you were like, oh, well, I won't say in church what I would have said. I would have said some bad things. I'd never heard of a Pentecostal or a charismatic or a spirit-filled or Bill Hammond or Bill Johnson or any of that. But the glory, the presence of God. And I said, God, why didn't anybody tell me about this? This is the most pleasureful, most enjoyable thing I could possibly do. The party that I was having with God in the prayer closet was way better than any club I'd ever been to. The intimacy that I was sharing with God was way greater than anything I could do on a Friday night. I'm telling you, it was way more enjoyable. God has made you for pleasure. He's made you for bliss. You're not called to just sit on the back pew and live a decent, you know, normal Christian life for the next 90 years. God wants you to live a life of fire, of excitement, of pleasure in His presence. And that's the only place you're going to find it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, it says in the book of Acts that all of the surrounding cities, thousands, we know from church history, even hundreds of thousands of people were flocking to Jerusalem so that Peter's shadow might fall on them and that they would be healed. I mean, Paul is like blowing his nose on tissues and giving them to people, and they're getting raised up off their deathbed. They're getting delivered from demons. If you want to walk in that level of the power of God, you need the shadow of the Almighty on your life. I believe there is an anointing, a gifting, whatever you want to call it, a grace coming to the church that people are going to begin to drive by church buildings just like this, and they're going to get healed driving down the street. Because of the abiding glory of God that is in the building. See, in America, we've camped out around sermons instead of camping out around the presence of God. The purpose of the church is not a good social club. The purpose of the church is to steward the love, the power, and the presence of Jesus. I want you to turn your Bible to Exodus 24. I want to take you through a decent amount of scripture this morning. I'm not going to preach a really long time because I want to have plenty of time for ministry. Exodus 24, verse 9. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there under his feet were a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was the very heavens in its clarity. Now, let me give you a little background, a little extra Bible here. Isaiah 6, Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10, Revelation 4 and 5 talks about how under the throne of God is the sapphire sea of crystal. Everybody say, whoa. It's beautiful from what I hear. Under the throne of God is this sapphire sea of crystal. Around the throne of God is myriads and myriads, thousands upon thousands of angels. Beauty and glory that you cannot even begin to imagine. And the Bible says that that sapphire sea that is the foundation of the throne of God. Now, get a picture with me here. That throne, that sapphire sea, came and touched down on the mountain in Israel. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, 70 of the elders, and Moses, the glory of God consumed a mountain in such a way that the very throne of God was touching down on the earth. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure cities would get saved pretty quick if God did that in this room right here. It's happened in human history. There have been revivals. I shared a little bit of this on Wednesday night. In the Azusa Street revival, one man and a couple of older intercessor ladies started a revival in 1906, in April of 1906, that has now led to near 1 billion salvations 110 years later. In that revival, a mighty rushing wind sweeped through a building. And the presence was so strong that dozens of people over the period of that revival would call the local fire department and say, the building's on fire. The building's on fire. Because when they would begin to pray, fire in the spirit would begin to come out of the windows and the glory cloud presence of God would dwell in that little teeny tiny room. The presence was so strong that the kids would play hide and go seek in the glory of God. You couldn't find your kids when it was time to leave church because they would be in the cloud of the presence of God. So much so that you couldn't even see your neighbor right in front of you because of the presence of God. See, in America right now, we think that if we make our church pews a little more comfortable and we get a little bit better lights and a little bit better music and a little bit better coffee and donuts, then we'll be able to compete with football on Sunday morning. We think we'll be able to compete with Hollywood movies by having better pews in the church. That is not how we're going to win a nation over to God. There is one thing that we have that the world does not have, and that is the abiding glory, presence, power of Jesus. And the only way that we're going to walk in that is by you getting alone with God and getting in the secret place. That verse there in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. That word there, shadow, it's the brooding of the Holy Spirit. That word there is connotated as a hen who is sitting upon her eggs. In Genesis 1, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, same word there, was brooding upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit was dwelling and waiting for the Word of God to go forth. And through that, the world, the universe, the animals, everything was created by the Word of His power. God is wanting us to walk in His presence right now in this generation in a way that we have never seen before. Isaiah 66, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, but where is the place where my glory shall rest? Do you want to be a resting place for God today? Everybody gets so worried about a temple in Israel sometime here in the future when God wants you to wake up to the temple that's sitting in your seat right now. You are the temple of God on the earth right now. If Moses could bring down the glory and the power of God in that way under the old covenant, then you should be doing it twice as easy. See, we have this idea, we read the Old Testament, and we say, wow, I wish I could be like Moses. Let me tell you, according to the New Testament, Moses wished he could be like you. The Bible says in 1 Peter that the prophets of old, they long for the day that you are living in right now. The Bible says that the angels in heaven, they long to look into this great salvation that you have received. You know, I remember when I was a little kid, we used to joke around. We'd say, hey, you know, who are you going to ask questions when you get in heaven? You know, are you going to ask Moses a question or Elijah a question or Abraham a question? I don't think it's going to work that way. I believe when I get to heaven, I believe when you get to heaven, Moses is going to come running up to you and say, what was it like to be born again? What was it like to be a son of God with a divine nature, with the veil of the Holy of Holies being torn? What is it like to be a temple of God? See, we get this idea that they were so awesome and were so terrible. You have a new and better covenant that you are living under right now. Moses would have given anything to have what you have living on the inside of you right now. I remember when I got saved, 1 Corinthians 6:17, whoever joins himself to the Lord becomes one spirit with God. That verse blew me away. You may think this is funny or weird, but really, I would just sit on the floor and I would like look at my chest or my stomach and say, oh my goodness, God lives inside of here. Genesis 1, God lives inside of you right now. If we only grasp 1% of the reality of that truth, your life would never look the same. You wouldn't waste time on boring movies. You wouldn't get drunk anymore. You wouldn't spend your life on addictions. You would walk in the fear and the love of God because you are now one spirit with Him. See, we live these boring Christian lives of, you know, good doing, religion, not realizing that the Genesis 1 God has now made you His resting place in Elkhart, Indiana right now. There's a whole generation that is longing and waiting for you to get it together for what I'm talking about this morning. If we only believed Him for about 1% of what the Bible promises us, we would probably see a nation saved in a day. You have the Creator God dwelling in your innermost being, and He wants to do something. I don't want to get to heaven one day and God show me all of the works I could have done, all of the love that I could have encountered, and say, Brian, this is what you could have, you're saved. But this is what you could have had. I don't want to live my life that way. I want to give my life over right now for everything that God has purchased for me. The Bible says that your life is but a vapor. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. I want to encounter God in every single way that I possibly can right now. The way you live your little, teeny, broken life right now is what's going to dictate how you live for all of eternity. Your little 80 to 100 years, see right there? That's about how big your life is in comparison to eternity. It's even smaller than that. It gets microscopic in the view of trillions, billions, and gazillions of years for all of eternity. How you live right now is going to dictate that for forever. I'm not just talking about heaven and hell. I'm talking about going after it right now. So we've gotten so focused about on going to heaven instead of bringing heaven down. Jesus didn't save you so you could say a prayer and live like hell for the next 50 years and go to heaven. Jesus saved you so that he could have heaven on earth. What was the prayer of Jesus? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no church splits in heaven. There's no divorce in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no dry prayer services in heaven. There's only the abiding glory of God, and it brings perfection. God wants the throne of heaven, the glory of heaven, to touch down on the earth right now. Amen? Let's go to 2 Chronicles 5. I'm going to go a couple more minutes here. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 5. Second Chronicles 5, verse 13. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were one. This is a prophetic picture, early picture of what Acts 2 brings us in the new covenant. To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord, their little praise song, their little teeny song, and it says that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests and the ministers could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. See, right now in so many churches in America, and I'm not beating up on America, I'm just being real this morning, okay? I hope you understand that. I'm a positive preacher. I believe America's best days are ahead of it. I'm not a negative guy. I'm just being real. You know, we're so worried about getting the preacher his 30 minutes, his hour, whatever, that we don't worry about God being in the room. I'm so done with normal, boring church as normal. I've got to have the presence. The Bible says the presence came so strong in the room that the priest could not minister. I'm ready for a day when I don't have to preach anymore. And God just comes down and dwells in the room and I don't have to do anything. See, in the past, we've made it all about my anointing and your anointing and so-and-so's anointing and so-and-so's ministry. Those days are gone and over with. We're coming to a day when God just heals people because everybody loves Jesus in the room and his cloud, his presence comes into the room. And it's not about me laying hands on anyone. I mean, that's okay. We'll do that today. We'll do that, you know, as a filler until that day comes. But I'm believing for God to just rend the heavens to come down in such a way that we don't even have to lay hands on people anymore. In Nicaragua, I go to Nicaragua a good amount. Jonathan's been there with me, my friend Jonathan from Virginia. I've been to Nicaragua 3 times in the last year and a half or so. And we have had services in Nicaragua where people in surrounding villages aren't even in the service. They don't even know about the service going on. And they get healed walking by the service. Or they'll be in their home and they'll get healed during ministry time just because the presence of God that is in the room. In a lot of my services right now, people are getting healed while I'm preaching, even before ministry time. Come on, Jesus. That's amazing. I'm believing for a day when you walk into Walmart, the cashier falls out under the glory of God because you're carrying it. We're called to carry Jesus like Mary did, right? We're called to be totally consumed with Him. He's called to live inside of us. You know, Catherine Coleman in her later years, she was so awesome. I love Catherine Coleman, one of my favorites. Catherine Coleman would have to plan 3 hours around her milk and bread and egg trip to the grocery store, around her grocery trips, just to go get bread. She'd have to plan 3 hours around her trip because she would be walking down the aisles and people would fall out under the glory of God. And it would take her hours to lead them all to the Lord, get them healed and saved. She'd just be walking down the aisle, plop, plop, plop. People falling down under the glory of God everywhere. Charles Finney, without media, without microphones, without the internet, he led 150,000 people to the Lord in 1 month. Many of which he would just walk into geographical regions and they would fall down in conviction of the glory of God. I'm not talking about something 2,000 years ago. I'm talking about just a few decades ago. Catherine Coleman was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and she was walking in that. Finney in the 1890s, I believe, 1880s. Mariah Woodworth Etter, the grandmother of the Pentecostal movement, she would walk into geographical regions, and no joke, thousands, secular history records this, thousands of people would fall under the glory of God. They would get slain in the spirit in the bars because she would step foot in that county. And no one would even know she was there. She was carrying the presence and the fire so strong. It says the priests, they couldn't even minister because of the cloud or the presence of God. Bill Johnson always says it, that in America, we've camped out around preachers on a stage. We've camped out around denominations and good theology. It's time America camps out around the presence of God. People, you know, I'll get messages from people wanting me to preach at their churches. And they'll say, well, are you sure you want to come? That we only have 15 people, or is God going to be there? That's my question. I'll take 2 people over top of 1,000 people any day if the presence of Jesus is in the room. He's our prized possession. Because 1,000 people aren't going to get much done if the presence isn't there. Heidi Baker always says that 2 seconds in the presence of God is way greater than thousands of years of working hard for Him. Mike Bickle always says that lovers always outwork workers. We've got a lot of workers out there. We don't have too many lovers. When you fall in love with the presence of Jesus and you've got to have Him above all else, you're going to see thousands coming into the harvest. You're going to see millions saved, healed, and delivered because we've got the first thing first. The first thing first isn't you prophesying, isn't you healing the sick. The first thing first is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen? He's our valued guest this morning. We've got to have Him above. We've got to have Brian. We've got to have Him. Let's go to Acts 2. I'm going to end out here soon, I promise. Acts 2. I know this is a popular passage, a common, if you will, passage, a well-known passage. I just want to see it get so deep down inside of our hearts in the American church. We've got to have God. We can't play around. I like having fun. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that. It's do or die. We got to have Jesus. The media, the junk that's going on in America, without the presence, we're done for. I want to tell you right now, your good social justice ideas of how to change a nation, they're not going to do anything without the presence. We got to get desperate. We've got to get hungry. You know, do you realize that you have the answers to all the world's problems? Like, you literally have all the answers to every business problem, every medical problem, every government problem living inside of you. Like the UN, they need you. The Bible says in Romans 8 that all of creation is groaning and waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. People have misquoted that verse and said that all of creation is groaning and waiting for the return of Jesus. That's not what the Bible says. All of creation is groaning and waiting for you to wake up. Who Jesus is inside of you. The world's not waiting for the rapture. They're waiting for you, actually. They may not know it, but they're waiting for you to wake up because you have all the answers to every problem because Jesus lives inside of you. This is Acts 2, And I also want to say with that, this is not negotiable. This is biblical Christianity right here. This is the founding of the church. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Same as 2 Chronicles 5. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then in verse 6 it says, when the sound occurred, a multitude came together. They were confused because everyone heard them speaking their own language. They, of course, end up saying that they were drunk. And Peter says, no, they're just filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you right now, this is the founding and the foundation of biblical Christianity. I want to tell you right now, the Bible ends in Acts 20, or the book of Acts ends in Acts 28. This is Acts 29 right now. You don't get to negotiate with God of what church looks like. We have this idea, my church, we're more into the 15-minute services, and we're more into nice media and a good exhorting word, and we don't do the healing thing. We don't like emotions. When did you get to decide what God's church looks like? Let's be real. You don't get to show up to my house and tell me what color I paint my walls. In the same way, we've looked at the Bible and said, well, God, that's okay. That's cute. That's fine for them. But we want our church to be and you guys understand that already. I'm preaching to the choir. I'm just saying. really, you get it. We don't get to negotiate with God. Biblical Christianity is presence, is signs, wonders, miracles, and love. We don't get to negotiate. People say, we're not into that. That's fine for you guys. No, if you're a Christian, this is what it looks like. There can be some differences in how we do it, how we go about it, but the center of it all is Him, His presence. Ephesians 2, I'm going to go there really quick, and then I'm going to go one other place, and I promise I'm done. Ephesians 2, I have a spirit of long-windedness upon me. Some of you got that. This is Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners and fellow, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fitted together and grows into the holy temple of the Lord. Now, he's describing to us, what's the purpose of church? Why do we get up early Sunday morning and come together? What's our purpose? Is this a social club like the Moose Club or, the free, or something like that? Or what are we? What's our purpose? Well, he's about to tell us. We're being built together, fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You coming together with your brothers and your sisters, you are being built together as a dwelling place for God. God is looking for a resting place in America. And I'm hoping that after this morning, you'll sign up again even more to be his resting place in Elkhart, Indiana. There's a people, there's a generation that needs what you're carrying, that needs what you have living on the inside of you. And it all starts with getting alone with him. It all starts with getting serious about intimacy with God. God's not interested in you knowing about him. He wants you to know him. I can read books about Michael Jordan all day long, but it's not the same thing as knowing him. See, right now we've said, I know God because I read about him in a book one time. That's not knowing God. The Bible, the same word for knowing God is the same word that's used for intimacy between a man and a woman. Adam knew Eve and a baby popped out 9 months later. It's the same word. It's the same concept. It's not impure. It's not sexual. But God wants that intimate knowledge going back and forth. God wants that communion and that intimacy with you on a daily basis. Would you just get alone with him? Would you just sign up again to love him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength? That is the key to everything. I want you to go ahead and stand up. If we got a worship team going this morning, they can come on forward. That's great. Whatever you want to do. I wanted to share the story again. I want everybody just to go ahead and get hungry. Put your hands out in front of you. Just start engaging with God. Just start asking Him to come and fill you with His glory. I wanted to share this story again. I shared it Wednesday night. I really just felt like I was supposed to share it again. I've had, God's really done some amazing things in my life. I've had some powerful power encounters with Him. And about a year and a half ago, Zach, who was back there in the back with the camera, was there with me. I was in Wilmington, North Carolina. I was in a 10-day prayer gathering where we were fasting and praying and calling out to God to bring revival, to pour out His Spirit, to pour out His glory. And I was really hungry for the Lord. I've had plenty of Holy Ghost encounters. I've been baptized in the Spirit, I think 6 years now, speaking in tongues. And I was pastoring at the time. There was nothing wrong in my life. I was just hungry. I just had to have more of Him. I was just like, God, I need a fresh baptism. I need a fresh touch from Your Spirit. I've just got to have You, you know? And I'm pacing around this room for like 10 days. God, I got to have You. God, I'm so hungry. God, I want You. God, I got to have You. And I get to the last day of this conference and I'm like, man, God hasn't really done anything in my life yet. I've been leading people to the Lord on the streets. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. But I came down there for a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. It was my whole purpose for going. And I had been praying. I was like, God, I want a baptism of fire. I want a baptism of Your love. I want to know You in a powerful and intimate way. And so I'm praying. I'm crying out to God. And on the last day, I'm getting ready to go home. And my friend, a friend of mine named James, he walks up to me and gives me a hug. As he gives me a hug, the glory, power of God totally overwhelmed and consumed me like I've never experienced in my entire life. It felt like a million, I'm not being evangelistical at all here. It felt like a million volts of lightning were flowing through my body, but yet it was the most pleasurable, most enjoyable thing I've ever encountered in my entire life. I lay down on the floor for about three hours, crying, laughing, shaking. It was the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. It felt like a million volts of liquid love, liquid goodness was flowing through me, and I have never been the same since that day. Are you hungry for that this morning? It's available to you. God doesn't want you to just hear about my story. He wants you to have your own story today. Amen? So if you're hungry for that baptism of love, if you're hungry for a fresh encounter with Him, I want you to come on forward. Come on, let's come on forward. If you're hungry for more of Him, I want to see everybody just come on up. Worship team's just going to go for it and do whatever they feel led. And while you're up here, I want you to put your hands out like this. If you happen to fall down under the glory of God, we're going to have catchers behind you. If you happen to go down under the presence of God, I want you to stay there on the floor. A lot of times people do the Pentecostal pick them up, you know, and then they leave and whatever. This is our saying for today. There's more on the floor. Everybody say there's more on the floor. You're free to encounter God. Just open up your heart to Him. And if you do happen to go down under the presence of God, I want you to stay there. God's working on you. God's going to touch you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just welcome Your love. Father, we welcome that baptism of fire. Song of Solomon 8:6. Jesus says, set me as a seal upon Your heart. A seal as strong as death. The jealous love of Yahweh. It's many flashes of fire. They're a flame of fire. Father, I ask that You would come with Your presence. Come on, just begin to lift up your voice. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to ask Him to pour out His glory. Father, we thank You for a fresh baptism of love. Father, we thank You for a baptism of the wine of the Spirit. Lord, we thank You for the wind of God just flowing through this place. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome You. More, Lord. More. Fire. Fire. We just welcome the fire of God. We welcome the fiery desire of Jesus. Just receive from the Lord. We'll come back together in here just a moment for a time of healing and all that. Thank You, Lord.